Wednesday, Chavis Halvavas Shir for ladies, Shara Vodas Elokim, Yud Zion, Yur, Tavshinayan Hay. Okay, we're learning Chavis Halvavas, Shara Vodas Elokim, and we're in Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet starts off, you know, he talked about her aura Sichlis and her aura Toranis, and you know, and now he's going to focus on her Ora Toronis, which is the commandments of the Torah, things we rituals, the things we have to do or we're not allowed to do, not beyond that, which her Ora Sichlis was. He talked about getting close to Hashem through her Ora Sichlis, intellectual and emotional and emotional inspiration. And he talked about Ora Toronis, which is basically the rules of the Torah. We have to follow the rules. So Perek Dalet is going to explain the Torah. He's going to analyze the different parts of Torah and split it up. And some of the things might be very poshut. Some of the things we're going to learn from what he has to say about them. So in the beginning of the Perek, he starts off, he splits up Torah, and he says, you know, something we know. He says the Torah is made up of mitzvahs aseh and mitzvahs lo aseh, and a third category, which he calls rishus. He calls it mutter. We call it rishus, meaning it's neither an obligation to do, nor is it prohibited from doing. And you know, we may think most of our lives is like that. You know, I want to take a walk. You know, so I want to take a nap. I want to take a walk. I want to relax. I want to read a book. I want to, you know, so, yeah, it might, not an aveira, but it's not a mitzvah. So it's heter. So he's going to analyze that, and he's going to grab that, end up saying that there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a spiritually demilitarized zone. You're every moment of life, you're either walking towards Hashem or you're stepping away from Hashem. We'll see. He's going to explain that. So he says, "Vatzivim is chalak l'shnei chalakim." There are two categories of tzivuyim. Tzivuyim are things we are obligated to do. And guess what? He splits it up into chovos halavavos and chovos ha'ivarim. And he says something interesting. He says, "Echad mehem mitzvos halavavos, v'hem hadvorim asher yusuknu, that there are counted be'emunas halev." They're things we have to believe, things we have to know and believe, or things are concerning emunas halev. So he goes through a list, and some of the things might seem okay. Kiyichud hakel, that's simple enough. I mean, it might not be simple, but it's simple enough to say over, you know, to believe that Hashem exists, or Hashem is one. Now comes the Yos Halev Sholem Imo. This is already not so simple. Yos Halev Sholem Imo, again, he's talking about obligations that are Chovos Halavavos, that are in your heart and your mind and your soul. Vlios Halev Sholem Imo means, it means you're cool with Hashem. You're good. You don't have tainus to him. You're not resentful. You don't think he could have done a better job at creating a life for you. You're not angry at him. How come this and how come that? And that's not simple, but it's obligatory. It's part of emunah, because it's part of believing that Hashem is tov, and Hashem is part of, and part of believing that Hashem is a meitiv. Vayara l'kim es kol asher asa. It's good. And Hashem created not just things in Sheisha Shemei Breishas. Hashem creates events. Hashem makes things happen. Hashem creates the background of my life, what century I was born in, the parents I was born to. Everything is planned. Everything is perfect for my neshama, to be of the utmost benefit to my neshama. But that's like, this is like, who would have thought of saying this? Yichud Hakel, we all would have said. Give me a list of Chovos Halavavos. Oh, believing in Hashem is one. Ve'yos Halev Sholem Mimo. You have to be You have to be, you have to be good with Hashem. You're good with Him. You don't have tainus on Him. That is not so easy. Ubatuach olav is the whole shara bitachon. I mean, come on. That's a mouthful right there. Just those two words. To rely on Hashem. Of course, you can't rely on Hashem unless you're ready to say that you're shalom imo. That's what we're in the middle of learning in shara bitachon. You can't rely on someone the way the Chavis HaLolis defines reliance in Perek Aleph, that I'm totally calm if I don't think he's going to be good with me. So, Batuach Olav is also a mouthful. Hayos Alev Shalim Imo is a mouthful. Ubatuach Olav. The Himasar Elov, that's a Lord of Elokim. Again, this is in the heart. He's not talking about doing anything now. He's talking about, I feel like an Eved. It says in the Pasuk many times in the Chumash. You know, Avodai Heim, Asher Oseisi Osam Yeretz Mitzrayim, Yos Lachem Lelukim. We have to feel that we're Avodim. Now, how do you define Avdus? So, the Chavis HaLolis defines Avdus in Shara Avodas Elokim. Could be one or two of you might have forgotten what we said, maybe. And he says it's humility, it's submissiveness, it's just the feeling that I owe everything to Hashem. From my existence, to my eyesight, to my ability to feel things, to my sanity, everything. I am humbled, I owe everything to Hashem. So that's, the Avdus is the acknowledgement that everything is from Hashem. Making a bracha, praising Hashem, because we thereby acknowledge Him as the source of everything. That's the Avdus Hashem wants. And listening to His will. That's what He wants from us also, as Avdus, and that's the Chavis HaLolis' picture of doing mitzvahs, is saying thank you for everything that He gives us. So that's, Himoser Elov means I have that relationship with Him. I'm in that mode of being under His, I submit to His will. Veretzos begzeiros so. That's already a little harder, you know. Hayos alev shalemimo. So you figure, okay, I can do that, you know, if my life's not too terrible. But veretzos begzeiros so means mamish when things are not a gzeira. And we don't understand why, and, you know, everything that's involved in having a gzeira. So Ritzos b'gzeira, so I'm cool with it. I'm okay with it. That's a chiyuv, it's a chovas halavavos. Ve'yomim b'neviyov v'torah, so, alright, I believe the prophets were sent by him. We talked about last week. Believing in nevuah is one of the 13 animamins. It's not just, you know, it's not just a nice thing. It's right up there in one of the Ikrei Hadas. If it's one of the 13 animamins, it means you sort of can't be a Jew without that. But not literally, but in terms of, like, what does a Jew believe? So the Rambam codified it as 13 principles and articles of faith. So one of them is that there's nevuah, which you might not put on a list. If you had to make a list of, oh, you have to believe that. A Jew must believe that. I don't think we'd put nevuah on the list. It'd be pretty far down. Judaism can get along without nevuah. Well, really, it can. First of all, because the only way we really know, I'm not talking about the proofs, but the knowledge mamish of the Hashem gave us the Torah is through nevuah. Through being able to experience Hashem, being able to listen to Hashem, hear Hashem, talk to Hashem. So you have to have that, ubetoroso, the yoroso, that's yiras Hashem, ushmor mitzvosov. He's talking about chavis halvavos, he's talking about having that ol, it's called ol mitzvos, there's a technical term for it. Ubemachsheva bepli osov. This is Shar HaBechina. It's an absolute obligation. The Shar HaBechina's hold, and he says it many times in Shar HaBechina, and he just throws it in here as well. You have to study nature, you have to study physics, chemistry, you have to study everything in order to see the flow of Sabore. You have to study biology, you have to study everything. He lists out 7 Chochmos. And you say, when am I supposed to do all of this? Well, nowadays you just give 2 clicks, and you have everything at your fingertips, which is amazing. But umachshava b'pliyosav, this is an obligation to think about. Look what Hashem is doing to me. Look, I could actually turn my neck. If you would now look into what it takes to turn your neck, to be able to turn your neck and just swivel your neck, it's utterly amazing. It's like unbelievable how complex the system is. And without that, you would not be able to swivel your neck. We sort of take it for granted, probably. That's the same idea. I mean, the same idea. Machshava b'pliyosa means thinking about the pliyos. And then you mavchin, you ascertain that he's always bestowing tova upon us. And I have a long list, but you know it already from the Sefer, from other places. So that's number one. Again, mitzvos haseh, mitzvos lo haseh, and heter. Mitzvos haseh, two parts. Cholvos halavavos, that he just gave a list, and cholvos haivorim, that he's about to give a list. You say, well, cholvos haivorim is everything else. So he says now that there's really, and we know this because we learned about Ora Sichlis. He says there's no such thing as really just pure cholvos haivorim. Because it's a dead, lifeless ritual. So all cholvos haivorim, which involves doing something to be meaningful, has to be accompanied with machshava, has to be accompanied with lev. Either you're thinking at least that I'm listening to Hashem, I'm doing the will of Hashem. According to Rechavos Halavos, and I'm saying thank you to Hashem. I'm listening to him because I'm compelled to thank him because of my Hakaras HaTov. If it's something like Sukkah, you know, wow, Kibbe Sukkah so Shati is B'nai Yisrael. If it's eating matzah, you go, wow, you know, Al Shlo Hispik B'tzeikom Lahachmitz, Hashem Tegemanim Mezuzah. Wow, you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. My house is a house. It's a Beis HaMikdash. My house is a house that declares that Hashem is Echad, and Hashem, the Ohavto, Tfilin, Mezuzah, Torah, Mitzvahs, that's the second parasha. So everything has to be, tzitzis, what does tzitzis represent? Challah, you take challah, what am I doing? Why is it meaningful? So this is all, there's no such thing as just a varim. That's what he doesn't even speak that out. It's obvious from his list. He says, Umehen mitzvos halavavos va'evarim yachtav. So if you had to make a list and there would be a test, and you say, what are the two lists, and what are the two categories of mitzvos haseh that the Chavos Halavos gives, and you would answer Chavos halavavos and Chavos va'evarim, you'd be marked wrong. Because he says Chavos halavavos and Chavos ha'evarim va'halavavos. You know, just plain ritual. There's a minimum. Some mitzvahs have less, some mitzvahs have more. So the ones that have less, at the very least, your bare bones minimum is to think before you do the mitzvah that I'm doing Hashem's will. It's called mitzvah sriches kavana. If you just do something and it inadvertently is a mitzvah, no, it's not worth, I don't want to say not worth anything because I don't want to say it's not worth anything. In Benadam Machavero, it's very possible that you don't have to be Machavein, that you're doing Hashem's will. You don't, mitzvahs Benadam Machavero, many poskim say, does not need Kavana. This is already a complicated thing. There's no reason for us to go into it. But, right, they have that guy on Yecheskel that satirizes fancy Caleb the break. You know, he sits there. He's a Jew from Iran. You know, he's escaped from Iran many, many, many years ago. And before I became the rabbi of a shul, I used to have too much time on my hands. So I walked around and I met these people. Anyway, he had a little sign up that when you pay me, have in mind you're doing the mitzvah of Biyomo Titein Tzcharo, which means you have to pay people back on time. You have to pay people on time, which might sound like, well, I thought that was a midas chasidus. You have to pay people on time? Really? You have to pay back a loan? Are you kidding me, Rove? Yeah, you have to pay back a loan. You have to pay people on time when they work. There's a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. If you don't pay on time, if you can't pay on time, you have to have them be mochel, or else. Okay, anyway, but, so even though, anytime you pay a taxi driver, or a babysitter, anytime you rent something, anytime you rent something, it's not when you buy something, it's interesting. The law in the assay is not when you buy something. When you buy something, there's no special mitzvah to pay on time. There's no special mitzvah, I mean, you're a ganav, as long as you don't. But if you say, I'll pay you next week, and you don't, you really truly plan on paying them, you're not over. But by a sale, by a rental, whether it's a rental car, or you have a worker, so you rented a person, or you rented anything, you rented, like I said, a car, you rented anything you rent. Any schar, whether it's you rented people or you rented objects, are subject to these two mitzvahs. You have to pay on time, and you're not allowed to delay payment. And you don't have time. The time is immediate. As soon as he finishes work, you have 12 hours. Okay. Anyway, why am I saying this? Because I remember the sign at the guy's store. He said, and whenever people would pay him, he said, say this first. And he had like a little thing. He said, but there are those that say that in Benad Machavero, mitzvahs do not need kavana. That's a subject in itself. But I'll kupon him. I'm sorry? Well, if he says, okay, here's a bill and it's payable within 30 days, so he was mochel. He was mochel. But if you don't say anything, if he's not mochel, if he says, no, you know, I'd rather, let's go with the Torah. You have 12 hours to pay him. When you come home and you tell the babysitter, I'll pay you tomorrow, and the babysitter is ashamed to say, excuse me, I want my money now, you're over a lav. You're over a lav. And it's your job to have change. She doesn't have to have change. You say, oh, you only have a hundred shekel bill on me. I owe you, 46 shekel and I only have 100 on me. Come back tomorrow, I'll give you the change. No. You have to go to a neighbor. I mean, not if it's after 12 o'clock at night, I guess. You have to get change and pay him. And that's if she's Michael. You say, listen, I don't have money. Is it okay if I pay you tomorrow? So if she says, yeah, it's okay. So that's fine, you're okay. If she's embarrassed though, and she only said okay because she doesn't want to say it's not okay, then we leave it up to Hashem. But it's a serious business. Anytime you do it, anytime you go in a taxi, you're doing a mitzvah when you pay the taxi driver. You're doing the mitzvah biyomotik tin schor. You rented the taxi. It's interesting that it's not on sales. It's only on rentals. But remember, when a person does something for you, you rented a person. So, and certainly if you rent a car or whatever, they rent dishes, whatever you would rent. Rent of an apartment. Right? You have to pay it on time, whatever time you made up. So you have to have 12 hours to pay it from when you made up, it's paid. So sometimes the landlord says, you have till the 10th of the month to pay it. You have to pay on the 1st, you have till the 10th. So they're good, that's fine, that's cool, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of technicalities, and we're not learning those halachas now. I brought it up because the Chavis Halvavos sounds like there are only two things, not three. It could be the Chavis Halvavos holds you have to have kavana even for mitzvos benodem achavero. Because there sure is a heck of a lot of mitzvos benodem achavero. Of course, there's one mitzvah that you cannot possibly have kavana for. Well, no, that's not even true. I was going to say shikha, when you forget in your field, but then if you remember, you're not allowed to go back for it. So you could actually do the mitzvah and have kavanah to do the mitzvah by not going back for it. But if you don't remember about it, come to think of it, you indeed get the mitzvah because that's the mitzvah of shikha, and you can't have kavanah because you forgot. So that's, I guess, a case where everybody has to agree that you don't need kavanah. But the Rav Lavovo says there's two categories. That's very interesting. It's not halavovos and avorim. It's halavavos and avarim / levavos. We can appreciate that because we learned about ha'arasichlis. And if you just do a mitzvah and there's no thought behind it, you don't know what you're doing, you're just doing the ritual, it's lifeless. It's almost meaningless. At least have kavana that you're doing Hashem's will. Like that's the bare minimum. That's called mitzvah sviches kavana. I have in mind, I'm doing a mitzvah. What do you mean I'm doing a mitzvah? I'm doing a mitzvah. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. It means you're doing Hashem's will. Hashem told you to do something and you're doing His will. Now, that's very meaningful, because even if you have no other kavana, but if you're able to broaden that into the whole chayvus halvavus perspective of life, that Hashem showers me with so much good and I am compelled to say thank you, and the system of the Torah is that the way I say thank you is by doing His will. That's how Hashem wants us to acknowledge that He gave us something and to thank Him. So that's it. That's what it is.
Is taking a loan renting money?
Borrowing money?
Borrowing money. But is it considered as though you're renting it in a way?
Theoretically, but it's not, this din, this particular din is not said by lending, by borrowing money.
So what's the obligation to pay back money?
There's an obligation to pay it back.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about now to pay it back when it's due for 12 hours.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's nothing to be cheerful about. A person's a ganav if he doesn't pay back the loan. Maybe they'd rather be over, you know. But I guess if a person says, I'm going to pay you, I'm going to pay you, not the way they say it, and they really have no intention of paying you. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people that sincerely mean it, so they're probably not ganav if they sincerely mean it. But by a rental, you can't do that. By the way, you're a financial person, so I'll tell you something interesting. If borrowing money would be renting money, then there would be no isaribis. Because you're just renting, you're just paying rent. So that's a raya that the Torah does not view borrowing money as renting money. But if someone has a coin collection and you want to rent it because you want to make an exhibition, and you're allowed to pay him, you can borrow. That's not ribis.
Right.
You're renting money, even if it's currency, even if it's coins that are acceptable legal tender. But you're renting it because you're not borrowing it as a loan. And you're renting it, Taka. So that's a case of renting money where, Taka, there's no Isser of Ribbis. You can pay for it because you want to show it off as a coin collection. Okay. Now, if you want to have, you want to show people you're rich and you walk around with $100,000, so you say to someone, can I rent $100,000 from you so I can keep it in my pocket and wave it? That's a good shaila, but the rule of thumb, the answer is, if you have to give back these $1,000, then you could pay rent. And it's not ribis, it's rent. But if he says, you know, I don't need back these $100,000, you give me back any $100,000, and this you're free to spend, as long as you pay me back $100,000, then it's a loan. And then you're not allowed to pay for it, because then it would be ribis. That's, okay, these are legalities and technicalities. Anyway, he gives a list of mitzvahs. So he says the first two are easy, because if I tell you his second list is Avarim plus Lev, so he says, okay, Kiyichad Haloshinim Halev. What would that be? He mentions davening separately. Oh, Yichad Haloshinim Halev, very interesting. That's not to talk, he's talking about mitzvahs, not lavim. But it means not to talk echad bepev echad belev. Yichud haloshinim alev means not lying, telling the truth, saying what you mean and meaning what you say. Yichud haloshinim alev. So that's a varim plus seichel plus lev. Ukriya sefer Torah v'limudo. That makes sense. That it's learning out loud and understanding what you learn. So that's lev plus a varim. Vatfila, that is the most obvious example of Avorim plus Lave. Davening without Kavana is basically zero, and you can't just have Kavana and not say the words. You have to say the words. Vatzom, fasting, tztaka, vashvisam and amasim b'shabbos uviyomtiv. So again, he's making a very powerful statement here. He's saying there is no such thing as just Avorim. It's Avorim and Lave. Okay, so those are the mitzvahs I say. The ha'azhara, prohibitions, also, same thing. Mischalak is gamke lishnei chalakim. Have these two things also. Echad mehen chovas halavavos. Vasheni chovas reivorim. What is a lav, a prohibition of chovas halavavos, pure lavavos? Vasorek shebechovas halavavos, Kishituf im habore b'seiser. Well, what does that mean? Shitof means literally, it's a very harsh word. Chabad Halalis uses it many times, sprinkles throughout the Sefer. And it's a very harsh word. It's something Christians believe. Shitof, there's, I don't want to say the words, there's more than one deity. More than one deity. What? Well, that's what the word literally means. When you say shitof in this context, it means you believe in two deities. Or three, whatever, you know. We don't have to go into their theology. But he doesn't mean that here. He doesn't mean that here. That would not be pure levalos. That would be, he means, he says throughout the Sefer, and this is tough. Now you're going to see, you say, well, I would never like believe this two deities. But Chazalavus is on one hand, he's merciless. On the other hand, he understands it could take a whole lifetime to do this. Anytime you do something, this is Shari'ichad HaMaisa, he uses these harsh words. Shari'ichad HaMaisa means the only reason I'm doing something is because it's Hashem's will. If I do it because it's Hashem's will and because I want to do it. So you say, that's wonderful. It's not wonderful. You're not going to Gehenna, but it's not wonderful. It's shituf. You're serving two masters, Hashem and yourself. That's two masters. That's shituf. Now, you're allowed to like to do something, but what you really have to train yourself is, I like it because Hashem likes it. Right? I like my husband because Hashem wants me to. You know, do. Or he has qualities that make him endearing to Hashem, so I like him too. Because everything is because Hashem. Everything is Hashem. That's what he's saying. That's what he calls a shituf. Sometimes it's hard. You're enjoying yourself. You eat a food that you enjoy. So Hashem wants. So you say, no, Hashem wants me to enjoy this world. That's okay. That's why I make a bracha, thanking him. Yes. You rather have hanah. The question is, why are you doing it? We're talking about motivation. If your reason is because I want to have hanah, that's what he calls shituf. Now, you can do it because I want to have hanah as long as there's this thread that, and Hashem wants me to have hanah, which is very hard for people to really sincerely believe. But that is okay. Hashem does want us to have hanah. He created five senses in a person. He created an amazing array of foods with all different smells and the way it looks and the way it tastes. He created that. He obviously wants us to have hanah. He wants us to make a bracha and to thank him. He wants us to do shar habechina, which is to realize all the different hanos Hashem placed in this world so that we are grateful to him and express that gratitude. But if you're doing it because you want your neighbor to like you, so you're worshiping Hashem and your neighbor. That's a very harsh look. And the truth is that Chazal were the first. I have no qualms about saying that you can do Torah mitzvah shelo lishma. Shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. So the Chazal brothers wouldn't have a problem with that. If your intention is, because Shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, if that's taka your intention, that you're going to do it for an ulterior motive. The Chavis Halvavah say earlier in Charavodas Elokim, you give a child candy. He doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to behave. So you give a child candy. Hopefully as he gets older, so this either he gets too old for candy, so maybe he wants other things, and now you have to promise him a car already. Or you have to promise him an apartment. Or you have to promise him who knows what. But, you know, it shouldn't be that way. As he matures, he should understand that he has to do good things because they're good things and they're the Ratzon Hashem. And not because of that. But we are all babies. Chazal understood that we're all babies. We might not do things because of a lollipop. So we all have whatever the adult lollipop is. Maybe it's kavod. Maybe it's social approval. Maybe it's a shidduch, maybe it's getting along with my neighbors, whatever it is. So that's not good. But Chazal understood it might be necessary. And some Bali Musar says it's absolutely necessary, and that's why they say the word la'olam. So on one hand, la'ola means you got to do it this way. It's not going to work. If you jump for the lishma, you're going to fall flat on your face. You got to work yourself up. Like in kindergarten. In kindergarten, you do things because they give you a lolly. You don't understand why you have to clean up after yourself. You don't understand why you have to eat a nutritious lunch, you know, so you give a bribe. Eat your nutritious lunch, I'll give you a lollipop. And we're all babies. And Chazal understood that. But the other side of the coin is Shemitok Shalom Lishma Balishma. Your intention is that it's not going to stop here. There's going to come a day when I mature past lollipops and I mature past the car. And I understand that doing the will of Hashem is reward enough as it is. Besides that, there's Olam Haba. And, but according to Chavis HaLavis, it's not ideal to do things because I'm going to go to Olam Haba, which we would all be extremely happy if we would do everything right, because we want to go to Olam Haba. We would like be really proud of ourselves. And, but that's not the ideal. It's not the peak. The peak is I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will, because it's my way of saying thank you. The fact that He gives me a reward for doing it is utterly amazing. Part of His chesed. Now I have to thank Him for that. Kufa. Something behind the eight ball again. Because now I have another thing to thank Him for. That He allows me to have schar for thanking Him. Like, that's amazing. Akoponim, so that's what it means, shitof. It's a heavy word, and it's an ideal. And Chazal understood you can't start off like that. You need years of practice. You need years of getting a lolly. And then you'll get used to the idea of what you have to do. Ubachonef, that's regarding other people. You don't stand up for what's right. You don't tell people what you're doing is wrong. You machnif them, right? So that's belave, right? You're afraid of them, or you don't want to get on their bad side. The avos asos mashehizer are killed, bilasos. This is an avera. If you like things that Hashem said not to do, okay, this is, you're not supposed to, what does the Chavis HaLavis mean? You're not supposed to desire, you're not supposed to sit there with a desire to do an Avera, except, you know, what can you do? You know, Hashem's stronger than me and He's going to beat me up if I do the Avera. But I have a desire for a cheeseburger. I have a desire to text on Shabbos. I really want to. That's no good. That's what the Chavis HaLavis says. You're violating the Chavis HaLavis. You want to do what Hashem doesn't want you to do. You're supposed to be in consonance with Hashem's will of the world. Hashem doesn't want you to eat non-kosher foods. You don't want to eat non-kosher foods. Not you want to, but there's this force pushing you down, not letting you stand up. Like someone's sitting with a gun.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait, but you could want to, but not want to because you know Hashem doesn't want you to. But
well, it depends what you want me.
It
depends what want means.
Okay, yes.
Rashi and Chumash says, and some people ask that this is a contradiction to the Chavis HaLavis, that a person should not refrain from eating chazer because he says, I don't like chazer, but he has to say, I like chazer, but what can I do? Hashem told me not to want it. I don't think it's a contradiction at all. What Rashi means is a fellow is not supposed to say, I don't like the taste of chazer anyway. Ugh. Supposed to say, I would eat it if not for Hashem. Because Chavis is talking, if the Hashem said not to eat it, do I desire it? Do I have a desire to go to McDonald's and buy a cheeseburger? Except I'm not allowed to. But I have a desire to. If the Hashem said don't do it. Chavis says, no, that's wrong. That's also, that's Chavis HaLavis. That's an azhara. That Chavis HaLavis, if Hashem said it's bad for you, it's harmful for you spiritually, so you have to consider it harmful. Rashi is talking, my reason for doing it is because Hashem said so. Not because I don't like the taste. Or because I'm scared to try new things. Or because it's too expensive. So Rashi's lashon is, I want to do it, but Hashem said no. Chavis is talking after Hashem said no. So don't desire it anymore. And certainly don't think about it. Boy, I wish. Would I take a Big Mac? Or I just because I'm talking about not kosher food, but there's other things people think about that are much more treif. And that's also, if Hashem said things are spiritually harmful, people tend to think, I didn't do it. I mean, I didn't do anything. I'm just fantasizing. He says, no, if it's bad, You're connecting to a negative spiritual force by thinking about it, by connecting to it, by wanting to do it, desiring to do it. That's what the Chovos HaLevavos is talking about. So when he says that it's an aveira of Chovos HaLevavos, avas, to love, to desire, asos, to do, mashehizu akel mila asoso. So that's what he means. Okay. Vahagaiva, vahagoiva, vahagoim. These are three almost synonyms. It's hard to know what the Chovos HaLevavos wants by saying it three times. But he's saying that's it's in the heart. That's it's a Chovos HaLevavos. It's an Isser of Chovos HaLevavos. To be arrogant. To be arrogant. To think of oneself highly superior to other people. The Mefarshim explain each word, and I don't know, I don't have a thesaurus in front of me. There's arrogance, maybe boastfulness, like there's different words, the high-handedness, overbearingness, these are these three words. Then he says, Uvazos b'nei Adam. That's an amazing, it's amazing. Why? Because he's talking about Chovos HaLevavos. So they tell you, you can't embarrass someone publicly. So we think of that as Chovos HaLevavos. Can't do anything. I can't talk Lashon Hara. But he's counting it now as Chovos HaEvarim, which means I can't be mevaza someone in my heart to think someone is worthless, a worthless individual. And we have people like that, that we think of them that way. They're worthless individuals. They don't earn their keep in living. What good are they? Is anybody any good? Who needs them? So he calls that a Chovos HaLevavos of a love. Umbazos b'nei Adam. He doesn't mean to go embarrass him publicly. That's a Ivorim. He's talking Levavos. Bazos b'nei Adam in your heart. The La Ogla Nevi'im and Tamak the Nevi'im. The Dvorim Haboim. Me'er Elokim al Lashonam. The things they say when they say Nevuah. Umoz b'tov. Right? Oh, that guy's Moz b'tov. Well, it's, he's a Fremak. Yeah, look at him. He thinks he's such a big tzaddik. He's saying such a long Shmona Esrei. He's a phony faker. That's what you're doing. That's your heart. You don't. And people have this problem because they're resentful because they see someone doing what they should be doing, so they think they have to degradate it, degrade it. Yeah. But he's not talking about, he's talking about thinking badly of good people. The low glanavim. That's what he's saying. Well, you're talking about ubazos b'nei Adam, to mock people. That there are, like everything else in the Torah, there are dinim governing that. There are dinim when you're allowed to hate someone, when you're allowed to mock someone, when you're allowed to embarrass someone publicly if he's a Rasha, if you think people will learn from him. There's dinim, it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Rambam. These are already dinim. What I'm pointing out is that his default is to consider it Chovos HaLevavos and to say, you know, and that's you mock people in your heart. He means the average person. He's not going into the technicalities of who you're allowed to mock. You're allowed to mock a Russia. You're allowed to mock someone who's an apikoros. You're allowed to mock someone who's dangerous to the Jewish people. You know, we're only talking about Jews, of course, and the Goyim don't enter this at all. So he says, you're allowed to mock them. Umetso koros ruach b'mereyim. And he gets his sipuk in life out of his friends, which is not a good thing. Chovos HaLevavos says that's like an aveira, Chovos HaLevavos, that your goal in life is to be a social butterfly. Uvahakina, we all know what that is. Vahachemda, vados haral of neyodom. Some people don't fagin; they like when bad things happen to people. Here we go again. Someone who's resentful of the gzeira that Hashem sent his way. Someone who's angry, resentful. You could be hurt, but you can't be miskatzef. Miskatzef is angry. resentful. So that's chovus halavavus of the lava. Chovus ha'ivorim is relatively simple. Hamuzim man, ashita from abori begolui. If you would bow down to an avodah zarah, ushvua sheker, v'ha'kozov, lying, v'arechilos. Telling someone what someone else said about them. V'achilos ha'iser, eating something treif. V'abilos ha'asuros, ushvichas domim, v'arbe kazeh. That's maybe, he doesn't say most, but so many, many mitzvahs of this sort. Averus, we go wrong. Negative mitzvahs. I cannot let it do. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Any, next week is regular, yeah? Next